Many supplements on the market are hard to absorb or packed with fillers, but that's not the case with Quiksilver Scientific. Quiksilver Scientific is a U.S.-based company that manufactures advanced liposomal supplements, making nutrients easier for your body to absorb and put to work quickly. Made in Colorado in an NSF GMP-certified facility and rigorously tested, this is science-first supplementation. After adding ultravitamin into my routine, recovery feels faster and I don't hit that midday crash anymore. Trusted worldwide for supplements that truly make a difference in performance, resilience, and well-being. Quiksilver Scientific makes advanced liposomal supplements so you can actually feel the difference. Energy, focus, calm, recovery. Get 10% off plus free shipping at tryqs.com/podcast. That's tryqs.com/podcast. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease.
Hey, what's up, y'all? Kelly Clarkson with Wayfair. My favorite thing about the holidays? Decking out my whole house. It's not a competition, but if it was, well, I'd win the season with Wayfair. Outdoor inflatable Santa? Got it on Wayfair. Trees, lights, and ornaments? Wayfair. Hosting must-haves like dining sets, beds, sheets, and towels? Wayfair. For everything in your style delivered with fast and free shipping, visit Wayfair.com or the Wayfair app to win the season. But again, it's not a competition.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
Talking about children of
the night.
Podcast.
The music of the children of the night.
I like when the wolves go, ooh.
Ooh.
That's my favorite. Ooh. It's me, Jordan. I'm making the music of the children of the night. It's me.
It's Doge of the podcast of the children of the night. And today's punchline is a bite in shining armor.
What do you call a vampire knight?
What do you call a medieval vampire?
Close. No cigar. What do you get if you cross a vampire with, and this is important, Sir Lancelot?
I don't care for the what do you get if you cross with this. Like, It feels like it's just they couldn't
feels
think
so
of
subjective too.
Yeah,
that's fine.
Okay, I'm subjective. Just this is the first time I'm finding out that you guys don't like this bit.
I thought you
loved it.
No, that's fine. I'm Carter and I loved it. You know, still
Thank
do
you.
Love it.
Good.
Love it.
Great.
Good.
Big fan.
And we're all having fun.
We're all having fun as we sneak up on, in a real spooky way, as we like touch the shoulder, and then the holidays turn back and they see, well, actually we're at the doorway,
and we're like
very far away.
We're like we tricked you. You thought I was behind you, but I'm actually in the doorway.
The idiot says actually what? Maggots.
Hey, idiot says what?
The noodles.
It's
are,
me, Dracula. The noodles are actually, idiot says what?
The noodles are worms.
Big dumb stupid idiot says what?
Big dumb stupid idiot. Keanu, you don't need to be here.
I think it's about time to get ready
I'm
to
shop. I'm starting
to
think it's a vampire.
Dude. I cannot.
What?
I cannot wait. I cannot wait to talk about Bram Stoker's Dracula in the second half of this movie. But before we do that, we have shopping to do. We're getting close to the holidays.
Yes.
We know there's a lot of people in our lives that love movies. It's time for us to do some prop shopping. Let's get on over to heroprop.com. I'm going to be reading to you guys some items up for sale at heroprop.com right now. I need y'all to get as close as possible. We're not going to do Price is Right rules. Because prop shopping is eclectic. It's a little bit more different than
it's its own thing.
To see if you can. Yeah, it's its own thing. I'm not going to get some collection of watches from a brand I've never heard of. We're talking prop shoppers here. And so each of them, you know, technically peek behind the curtain. One of you will mute while the other one guesses first. Jordan, I'm going to let you guess first. We're going to start with Charlie and the Chocolate Factory, the 2005 Charlie and the Chocolate Factory. Mm. We're getting the prop of the unwrapped chocolate bar, an unwrapped chocolate bar.
This from is the Charlie and the Chocolate Factory.
It's just unwrapped. A piece of chocolate.
It's just a piece of chocolate. Kind of looks like a Hershey bar.
You think it's real chocolate or is it like a silicon mold?
It's a prop for sure. Or else so I don't think you'd be selling it.
You can't eat it.
Yeah, I don't think you can eat it.
You can eat anything.
I'm sure there was like the fear of maybe it melting or something, but I don't know. The chocolate factory gets pretty messy. I don't know why we're not using actual chocolate. But there is a prop for sale on heroprop.com of the unwrapped chocolate bar, an unwrapped chocolate bar from Charlie and the Chocolate Factory, 2005. Jordan, what's your guess here on the price?
We're doing U.S. American dollars?
This one's a U.S. American dollars website.
Okay. This is going to be 175 U.S. American dollars.
Okay. Thank you very much.
This first guess is always like the first guess in Battleship, where it's just like, I don't know. $643.
Oh, we got different vibes.
Dude, this is amazing. Jordan, you said 175, yeah?
I did.
Yeah.
Doge, you said 645? 643. The actual price, 695. What a very close, random guess.
Wow.
Congratulations, Doge.
Wow.
You now in your cart, soon to be in your home.
Yeah.
Have the Charlie and the Chocolate Factory 2005 unwrapped chocolate bar.
That's not worth that much.
Maybe you can eat it. What if it's real? Okay. What if the movie's real? What if the movie is true and this is really magic chocolate from a magic man?
The chocolate's not magic.
He is. The man is.
Is he?
So then the chocolate is.
Is he magic? The chocolate's not magic, but is he magic?
I don't think he's magic.
I don't think he's magic.
He's regular? You think he's a regular guy doing all that stuff?
I think it's science.
Who's the who? There's no way that's not science.
I don't think there's magic. Why does he have chocolate? Why does he have like test rooms if it's magic? That's for science.
I think we're to believe that it's science. I don't think we're to believe he's fantasy.
Have never for a second thought he was a man of science.
I do feel like you think he's a magic to an extent.
I think he's magic.
He doesn't do anything. He just owns a factory where weird experimental candies
just
work.
So are the Oompa Loompas magic? Yeah.
No, they're just a group of people that he found and frankly enslaved.
Mm-hmm.
There's magic in it. What's the next problem?
There isn't.
Sure. Whatever you need to believe. It's regardless, you'll know for sure once you get it in the mail, once it gets to the
house.
Right,
yeah. Once I eat my $700 candy bar.
My favorite subject in high school was probably aquatic magic, where we sort of studied how the ocean works and fish. I don't understand it, so it's magic.
Any sufficiently advanced technology is indistinguishable from magic. Arthur C. Clarke said that.
Like the microwave.
Great. So he didn't say is any technology is magic, though. He just said it's indistinguishable from magic.
Well, mm-hmm. I've heard it both ways.
I'm on mute already. No. Go ahead. Go ahead.
You can't mute right now because
you can't
hear
mute because you don't know what we're going to guess on.
Yeah, that's why I was joking.
From 2001, Harry Potter and the Sorcerer's Stone. This is a wand. But is a wand of a background student. Okay. This means very likely someone who did not have a name, but is a student who has a wand.
It would be troubling.
Harry Potter and the Sorcerer's Stone, 2001, background student wand. Now, I hope this doesn't throw you off. I'm seeing that it is on sale. Oh. It had an original price, so I don't need the original price, but it is on sale now.
We're going for the sale
because
price.
Because nobody has bought the background wand on the actual price here. So we're going
to
go on for the sale price.
Okay.
Sale price. Doge, you will guess first.
Great. I think they had it priced at like $500, and I think they're doing about, 20% off or so. So I think we're going to say $311.
Okay. Thank you very much.
The sale price of this one is $1,700. Okay.
Doge guessed about $311. Jordan guessed $1,700. Jordan, remembering, you know, Harry Potter's a big deal in pop culture. Harry Potter in general, there's some Potter heads out there.
I think, to be frank, what I assumed was that if it's on sale, it started at a much more ludicrous price.
Yes. It started, I'll tell you both, at $2,400.
Goodness gracious.
It is on sale for, $1,900. Jordan, in the mail to you, my friend. Congratulations.
Thank you. Thank you.
Drop the gavel. You have won a background student wand.
Yet again.
From Harry Potter and the Sorcerer's Stone.
Hogwarts Technology Academy, right?
From Hogwarts. Yes. It's a CTE school, I believe. It's career all technology science. Education.
Yeah. You'd love science. To see wizards in STEM.
Let's stay in the Potter.
I think
sphere.
A lot of their wands are made out of stems.
We'll stay in the wizard sphere here. And I want the 2001 Harry Potter and the Sorcerer's Stone, same movie.
Heard of it?
The Hogwarts invitation envelope. Maybe something that stands out a little bit more than a background student's wand.
Put that in a juicy frame.
Invitation envelope. And what I see here on the envelope is to Mr. H. Potter. So this is Harry Potter's invitation envelope from
one of thousands that I assume
Harry
come
Potter
through the front door.
There's many, right? So they're going to make bank whatever this is times 1,000. If Hero Props got their hands on all of them, they're going to make a lot of money here. No spoilers, Jordan. You'll guess first.
It's got Harry's name on it. That's a big deal. It's just paper, but so are a lot of things,
right? Wand could have been paper.
I'm going to go. I'll tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to say 2301.
Okay. I think it's more than the wand. 2301.
$900.
Okay. That's probably more.
How
right.
funny if it was a dollar. I can't wait for the day that one of you is legitimately guesses a dollar over the other person. Jordan guessed 2301. Doge guessed $900.
Tell me
the actual retail price. If I would not do this myself because it might ruin the letter. I would not put the chocolate in the letter. But Doge, it comes to you at $865.
Whoa!
The Hogwarts invitation envelope. We move on.
If you're a big Harry Potter head, that feels like the first prop so far that is worth it.
Yeah.
At that price point, you frame it, you put it up on the wall. Yeah, that's cool.
That's so fun. Sure. That is so fun. I've got a couple more for us.
There's nothing from Willy Wonka at all.
Yeah.
Either the OG or the Johnny Depp. There is nothing from Willy Wonka worth over $500. There's not a single prop.
You don't think Golden Ticket from the real one, not the Johnny Depp one. You don't think Golden Ticket's worth that much money?
Not to me. No, certainly.
It is. I bet someone would pay it.
Yeah. Someone would pay any of these, but.
From the Avengers. Yeah. Age of Ultron.
Yeah.
This is War Machine Don Cheadle's Mark II helmet.
Wow.
That it's a big get for hero prop.
Yeah.
Avengers Age of Ultron. Wow. War Machine Don Cheadle. Okay.
Yeah. Because boom. You're looking for this.
Terrence Howard was only in one movie. Don Cheadle became War Machine.
I forgot.
All since then. The Mark II helmet. Doge, if you will guess first here, how much is the Mark II helmet from Avengers Age of Ultron?
Man. I think it's $3,400.
Okay. Very good. Thank you very much.
Can I ask, does this look, it looks legit. It's like metal. Like it looks like you pulled it straight out of the movie.
It does.
It's
that. Did that change things for you, Doge, on your guess?
Embarrassingly, no. It would not.
Okay. Jordan?
Ooh. I feel like Avengers is bigger than even Harry Potter when it comes to willingness of some people to spend money on props from that universe. Yeah. And this is like kind of a big one, but it's not an Iron Man helmet,
right?
You know, it's not an Iron Man helmet, but it is very cool. And I would be pretty impressed if somebody had this. I think that this is like $6,000. I think it's going for $6,000.
Yeah. I sent this over to you boys in the chat. If you want to look at the legitimacy here. And tell me if it's actually worth what Hero Prop says it's worth, which is $14,995.
Wow. My first guess, my knee jerk was 11 grand. And then I was like, that's insane. No, this is not worth it.
$14,995. It's a good used car. Our final one here over in Prop Shoppers.
Wait, who won that?
Our final.
You did.
You did for sure. I'm so sorry.
I said 3,400.
Doge said 3,400.
Wait.
He was.
Oh, I'll just pay a deposit. You don't have to pay it all. I'll just pay a deposit.
Deposit?
Oh,
how much do you have to pay?
True.
Oh, you could do three payments.
Three payments.
That's actually not bad, dude. You could probably get that on Klarna or a firm?
Klarna, dude.
Not
yes,
a firm.
100%.
It's a firm. Yeah.
Our final prop here today.
Okay.
That is unbelievable.
From 2004's Seed of Chucky.
Okay.
In honor of spooky season.
Thank you.
The original Chucky doll from Seed of Chucky. Ooh, it's funny how they call it the original Chucky doll.
When it's not even the original
2004
movie.
Yeah. Is not the original Chucky movie. But
yeah,
the actual, I guess, most frequently used Chucky doll from Seed of Chucky. Jordan, you will guess first.
Yes, I will. This feels like the kind of thing that would be in like a Planet Hollywood. This feels like the kind of thing that would be in like a real horror head's house.
On a burger that is so mediocre, but it's worth $25.
And you've got like Arnie here from Terminator. You've got Chucky here.
Bro, he's the first one. He is Planet Hollywood.
He's always there. I mean, it's his restaurant, isn't he? He owns it. But I think he does. I think he literally does. But man, for this one, I think... Honestly, if I'm being real with you, I think that this is like a legit collector's item. It's not something I'd be interested in, but I think it's a legit collector's item.
Sure, Chuck.
I'm going to call it like 20 grand.
Amazing. Thank you so much.
You can have your very own Charles in charge for $2,160.
Should be pretty easy to determine a winner here.
$2,100. Jordan said 20K. I'm sending it over to you guys in the chat.
Okay.
Jordan wins at almost $16,000. $15,995. 1,000 more than War Machine's helmet from Avenger Age of Ultron. Seed of Chucky 2004. Original Chucky doll. $15,995. He's knife in hand. He looks up to no good.
Yeah. Look there up to he no is. Good. He looks like he's scheming.
At almost $16,000. Doge, while you were muted, Jordan brought up the perfect feel for it, I think, in terms of this being a very Planet Hollywood thing.
Yes. Yep.
That it's just right there.
That's why I thought it would be pretty expensive, because this feels like the kind of thing that would be like,
yeah,
you're not bidding against other fans of Chucky. You're probably bidding against people that want to have some sort of like...
I think horror in general.
Installation or... Yeah.
There's a generation of like horror that Chucky is the Rushmore for people.
For sure.
Yeah.
For sure.
That's Prop Shoppers. Congratulations. Those will be in the mail to you.
Can't wait to eat my magic chocolate.
I still say for the price points of each prop, the only thing worth anybody's time here is that Hogwarts invitation envelope.
That War Machine helmet kind of looks like a toy, doesn't it?
It doesn't look great, and the price is outrageous. Like, I would say the quality of that helmet, $1,500, I would be like, that's still a lot, but that might be worth it.
That's got to be like a background helmet or something. Because like the suits are fully CG in that movie anyway. Like Don Cheadle's head has never been inside this.
Right.
Which is true about most things that I
price
tell.
Point. Yeah, yeah. I don't think I've bought very many things that have had Don Cheadle's head.
Oh, boys.
I got a large Stouffer's lasagna once that I had some question marks about whether Don Cheadle had been in there.
There was a face print in it, I bet.
Yeah.
Where he just kind of, he smushed it. So it was his birthday lasagna. Somebody smushed his face in it.
And when I opened it, the box was like, body rubbo, trouble. Like, that might be Don Cheadle's face.
Can actually. I give some quick, I'm getting a lot of texts. It's crazy because we're not even recording this live.
Mm-hmm.
So we're not even going to get to that point. I think it's more science than fantasy. Here, but I'm getting a lot of texts from people listening in. They're wanting to know about Planet Hollywood, who actually owns it. Did Arnold have any stakes in that? Currently, no. Arnold Schwarzenegger does not own Planet Hollywood. The chain is owned by Earl Enterprises. Now, here's the thing. In the 1990s, he was one of the founding celebrity investors with what I would believe is for our money over here in two chunks, the Saturday afternoon trifecta, which is Sylvester Stallone, Arnold Schwarzenegger and Bruce Willis all started Planet Hollywood as investors.
Okay,
cool.
So good intuition, good history check there, Jordan. Arnie had some say. He made it a thing.
And that makes sense.
See, yeah, I guess I always thought it was Paul Hollywood who owned it. Thought it was like his family business. That's how he
That's why they had those piercing blue eyes at the very front of every, like every restaurant.
There's a husky got cursed by a witch to become a human.
Waiters always shake your hand. It's great.
If you look around, you might notice that we are stuck in the middle, boys. It's time to play the middle. The newest game. Our newest favorite. Our youngest child.
Take some
on two chunks.
Time guessing where some stuff would be is on a timeline.
Guess I mean, everybody say what you think. All right.
All right.
All right. So Dracula. Dracula. Was a 1992 film. 92. This was 33 years ago.
Wow.
33 years before 1992. I don't think we're going to have a lot of success trying to take a look.
I know this one. I know this one.
Trying to take a look at what the top 10, one of the top 10 films of that year would be. There's a pretty major one. That was 1959, by the way, if you just want to feel really terrible about
Casablanca.
Yourself. Casablanca was not a 1959 film.
Casablanca.
Casablanca.
A pretty big one, actually, was 1959. You guys can Ben-Hur. Keep guessing. Yeah, you got it.
Classic.
Number one. That was the number one box office film of 1959.
Are you kidding?
Ben-Hur. Nope, you got it.
Casablanca.
No, not Casablanca. Ben-Hur.
Go Birds.
Carter with a Ben-Hur. Out of nowhere. 1959
Ben-Hur done that. You know what I'm saying?
Ben-Hur done that. 59 is as far away from 92 as 92 is from us right now. Which
Whoa.
Is crazy. Can you believe that?
Okay, cool.
So okay. All right. We're going to treat 1992 and 2025 like they are the bread of a sandwich. And the meat of that sandwich is 2008. This was, let's see, 17 years ago, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, 17 years back. So you guys get 17 questions, yes or no questions, to try and identify the film that I am looking at. It's one of the top 10 highest grossing films of 2008. Let's see. Carter, you begin because of that wonderful Ben-Hur
shot.
You're
always picking one of the top 10.
I'm always picking
one of the top 10 films.
One of the top 10 films. And I think you boys have seen every single one of these films. Grossing. Yeah, yeah.
Is this produced by Disney?
No.
Okay. Well, okay, but maybe was this pre-Disney acquisition? You know what I mean?
Is that one of your questions?
No, this is for Carter because like it could still be a Marvel movie, but I don't think Disney was doing them yet at that point.
So Disney wasn't even there for like Iron Man?
Mm-mm. Disney didn't take over Marvel until
2012.
Oh, shoot. Okay.
Right.
Okay.
But that's good. I mean, Disney made a lot of movies.
16
so
questions, you know?
Yeah.
16 superhero questions. Question mark?
No.
James Cameron question mark.
Oh, great. No, Avatar was 2009.
Oh man. I should have just shot my shot anyways. It'd be more impressive.
Action?
Obviously that's what I was going for.
What'd you ask? Action was my question.
Okay. There's action in it.
Got
wouldn't be listed in the genres on IMDb.
Disney has always had pirates. So it's not a Pirates movie.
I had the same thought.
Not a Pirates, even in the top 10.
2008 would be my sophomore year. Is this science fiction?
Yes.
Okay.
Magic fiction, I think, is what those usually calls it.
It's a story of one incredible chocolate bar that changed the world.
Wait, when did Inception come out? I feel like it came out in 2008. No, because The Dark Knight came out in 2008. There's no way Inception and Dark Knight came out in the same year.
Just ask if
he said it's not superheroes. He said it's not superheroes.
Oh, yes. Okay. Is it worth asking?
Like, yeah, The Dark Knight is a very realistic take. It could
it's actually
happen.
Super
By the
grounded.
Way, yeah, Doge, are really, you excited really at all about The Odyssey? Are you excited about The Odyssey at all?
Oh, that only a little bit.
Is that feels like
only a little bit.
Feel like
it's only like exactly my flavor.
Have we talked about Pattinson's 2026 and how ridiculous it is?
No, what is it?
Our Pat? I mean, he's doing Odyssey. He's in the Odyssey. Yeah.
Okay.
He's in another Batman movie. There's another Batman movie that comes out.
I'll believe it when I see a trailer.
That's true. That's a great point. And then there's one more massive movie that I can't remember, but I'll get to it. I promise.
Hey, animated?
Ooh, good question. No.
Okay. There's action in it, but it's not action. It's not owned by Disney. It's not superheroes. It is science fiction-ish.
This will be your seventh question out of 17.
And it's not animated.
Is this a Michael Bay movie?
Ooh, no, it is not.
Oh, are there any Michael Bay movies that don't have action as the main
that's a good
selling point?
Very, you know, thank you so much.
Is it
that's like the genre is explosion. Like the credits even are action. The post
genre
like,
is boom. Man, I'm getting too pinned in on thinking about 2008 movies. It's 2008, so it's a waste of a question to ask if the lead is a man.
I'm looking at the top 10. Of the top 10, there's one movie with a female lead, one movie with an animal lead, and one movie with a robot lead.
Gotcha. Wait.
Oh, man. Female leads throw me off, because when I started thinking Pattinson, I started thinking Twilight, and I think that's around
Sorry
Twilight
for wasting time. A question here, but I am no, just going to rip fine. One. District
Is
9?
It a Twilight movie? Oh, I thought okay. I didn't even know you guessed. I thought
it
you
is Jordan's
already.
Question. Jordan's question.
Okay,
no,
sorry.
It is not District 9. Carter, no, not a Twilight movie. Back to Jordan with question 10.
Sorry, Jordan.
Think 2008.
I think that's my problem. Is I've been only thinking 2008 and not broadening.
Batman.
Enough.
Batman Part 2 has been moved to 2027. So the Odyssey, Dune Part 3.
Oh.
Is Pattinson in Dune Part 3?
Yes.
D-D-Dune, I think is what they're calling it.
Interesting.
Dune 3D.
Interesting. Is this an ensemble cast?
Great question. No. There are other characters.
Well,
but
sure.
It's one singular lead. That was question 10. You have 7 questions left. Carter, question 11.
It's not superheroes.
Not sci-fi.
It's kind of action.
It's kind of
sci-fi. No, it is. It is sci-fi. It's more sci-fi than action. I think we can safely say that.
Okay. Like you're getting hung up on the action thing. There's action in the movie. I don't think it is. IMDb, you know, had lists like the top 3 genres. I don't think action is first or second. It might be a distant third.
It's not one of the Star Treks, then.
No,
it's not one of those Chris Pine remakes.
Nope, that started in 2009.
Man, why am I in 2009?
You're so 2000 and late.
That's true. Honestly. It's sci-fi, but it's not a Star Wars. And
no,
it's not.
Did it make over $500 million?
Nice. It did. It made $786,636,033.
A lot of monies. I mean, that's a lot of monies. Well, in 2008, we were in a financial crisis. So, I mean, people weren't even, you know, it's a big deal. Big deal.
I lost the house, but this movie made $700 million.
At least we got that going for us, which is good. I mean, I feel like there's no way it's like, you know, like the Shia LaBeouf eagle eye. There's no way that made that much money. There's no chance.
That's a good guess. That's got to be around this time, right?
I think it would.
You called it, though, didn't it?
I think it would.
Is that your official guess?
No.
Was that question 12? No. Okay.
No. Is it Carter's my question? Asked, I think it's my.
Yes, because Carter's question 11 was, did it make over $500 million?
Is this Speed Racer?
Ooh. No, it is not.
Okay.
But that's a great guess.
That surprisingly did not make a lot of money. I think that made like.
That's a good point.
$150 million or something, but I thought it was so fun.
That's a good point.
So this movie at 700, I'll give you this for free. This movie at $786 million is the second highest grossing movie of 2008.
Dark Knight has to be. Well, no, Iron Man was 2008. So, no, Iron Man was 2007.
It's not a superhero.
No.
It's not animated.
I mean, if I know it's not a superhero, I can look up what year Iron Man came out. Okay, Iron Man
right, we guessed it. We guessed if it's animated, right?
It's not animated. It's not a superhero. Iron Man was probably first, second, or third highest grossing. I would assume Dark Knight is first, second, or third highest grossing. So this is
the Dark Knight
in
is,
the same. He would. Just,
there's no sci-fi about Fast and Furious. He wouldn't say there's just action.
Well, that's action too. I think he would call that action. More action. Yeah.
Dark Knight is number one at 997 million. Iron Man is number eight at 585 million.
They just weren't pulling yet.
Yep.
That's what it is. They just weren't pulling yet.
Dark Knight made how much money?
$997 million.
It almost made $1 billion. We had not had a Batman since we were ice skating with George Clooney. And this almost made $1 billion.
Yeah, we had Begins.
Oh, I'm sorry.
It's the second Christian Bale movie.
Regardless, though.
Yeah, isn't that
the
wild?
The fact that people are bought in after 140 minutes.
Yep.
And like, yeah, no, we all want to see this.
It's got to be crowd pleasing. It can't be something that's too niche because then we're not going to pull in the money.
Question 13. Give us lucky 13, Carter. 13th question.
Does it have a, and this is, we can clarify this a little bit if we need to. Does it have a, like a historical spin? Is it based on history?
Is it based on real?
On real. I know it's sci-fi.
Is it based on history? Yeah. Yeah. Question 13 is a yes.
I might have messed this up a little bit.
Sure.
What the hell?
Yeah, why not? I mean, when you find out what the movie is, you're going to say, oh, yeah.
I felt like a waste. That's my bad.
It's either a retelling of something in a way that is shocking, or it's like time travel or something.
Mm. Question 14, Jordan.
Time travel, I could see. Is there anything time travel-y that came out in 2008? What happened in 2008? Did somebody go back in time in 2008? Did somebody do something?
I don't recall.
Is this question 14?
Time travel movies doing very well.
What? No. Do you think I'm asking you that?
I don't know.
Grow up.
He's talking to me.
It's time travel. I mean, it's not time travel, but it could. It's something, you know, it's based on real, but it's not.
But okay, first of all, Harry Potter is not sci-fi, correct?
You're right.
I would call it fantasy.
You're right. Yeah, no sci-fi in there.
Okay, great. So that confirms it's not any Harry Potter.
Ooh,
no, I should have asked if it's based on a book.
Okay, we weren't doing book.
I want to make sure
adaptation.
You're about to ask question 14, and you keep saying based on real. Carter did not ask, "Is this a true story?" He said, "Is there a historical element to it?" Yes.
Oh, it's 300. Is this 300?
It's not 300, but that's a great guess.
Oh. When did 300 come out? That's about the right time, right?
It's got to be around the right time. In what world am I not saying action is the top?
2006. Hey, that's a good point. No, yeah. You're right.
It's like a pretty thoughtful character study. Question 15, Dr. Willis.
Is it based on a book?
No.
Is it a book adaptation? Great.
It is not.
Carter, we weren't doing book in 2008. People didn't know about books yet.
The number 10 highest grossing film of 2008 was The Chronicles of Narnia, Prince Caspian, based on book. So
yeah,
they did have book.
And it only got to 10.
They did have book. Only got to 10, though.
Book number only seven, take you so far.
Number seven was Quantum of Solace, also from book. But
Carter, I want to point out that you're putting yourself in hell.
Yeah, when you listen back to this and you listen to Cake Mouth Willis, you're going to love it.
You're sending yourself to hell right now. It's my turn.
Yeah,
and it's not based on book.
Question 16, not based on book.
It's science fictiony, but there's something historical to it.
Uh-huh.
Who the hell knows what that means?
You're stuck in the middle, my friend. Question 16.
Don't pretend that that's the game. Much like we say here in the studio, you are stuck dead in the middle of this very question. This is my last shot.
Yeah.
This is my last shot.
Don't throw it away.
It's science fiction. It's not animated. There's no superheroes. It's not owned by Disney. It's not action. It is science fantasy, science fiction rather. And it is a cousin to history in some way, in an infuriatingly vague answer.
Yep. I really hope there is someone in their car right now screaming the name of this movie at you guys.
I think there's no way that anybody thinks that anybody has this yet.
Huh? Okay. Question 16. What's it going to be?
Science. It's sci-fi, but it's It's got historic. But it's sci-fi. But it does have historic.
Is it sci-fi?
What?
Your question was, does it have sci-fi? It does. It
I'm done.
It does have sci-fi.
I quit.
You know how
that's
you're,
the stupidest.
You know how you're always stupidest. Like, you know how you're always like, I would be so good at Taskmaster. And then you get hit with a particularly puzzling question and you have the best day of your life.
First of all, that's not even the same thing. Does it have sci-fi? What kind of question is that?
That's you what you asked. What we were,
I don't think I asked.
Does that. Does it have a sci-fi vibe to it? Yeah.
Oh my God.
You got one more question.
Yeah, we were asking
everyone
the
besides
genre.
Him knows that. Okay. We will call sci-fi the genre.
We'll take it. No, we're taking
I'm sure
it.
Sci-fi is listed as the genre. I'm worried you're going to get stuck if you try and think of sci-fi movies.
So I'm stuck now. I don't understand where the history part comes into play, but what I do have is The Day After Tomorrow is stuck in my head. Suddenly.
Ooh. Not The Day After Tomorrow, but that's a great guess. Well, I like that movie.
Didn't guess.
Okay.
For some reason, just talking
out
loud.
So go ahead.
That's
I don't think so. I think I'm pretty sure I was in middle school when
I feel
that movie
so
came out.
Certain that that's 2004.
You're correct. 2004.
I feel so certain that's 2004.
2004 for The Day After Tomorrow?
Dude, why? Why do I know this?
I was just thinking out loud, but I will take that freebie.
Yeah, it's a freebie.
I don't know, man.
We'll start every new instance of this game just by me letting you know whether or not it's The Day After Tomorrow. That could be a new founding rule.
That's
the second
helpful.
Time we've played.
Stuck in the middle, and is it? And also, is it The Day After Tomorrow?
Right.
If we could go ahead and do that. Yeah, you'll know when I guess. How about that?
Okay.
I'll make it real clear when I guess.
Okay. I know you guys can get this.
I don't think so, man.
I know you've seen it.
We've got two guesses left.
You know I've seen it.
I do know you've seen it.
Sure.
I know you both have seen it, and I think you both probably have some pretty strong opinions about it.
What does that mean? Wait, when did the bad Indiana Jones come out?
There's no way that made that much money. Kingdom of the Crystal Skull.
I mean, Shia LaBeouf was in it
that time.
Praise God.
It would have been about Transformers time.
Praise be for God. We're looking for a movie that made $786 million.
It has a sci-fi.
It did not.
You don't think it did just on a test run?
It did not make that much money. I'll die on that.
There's no way two Nolan movies came out in the same year.
There's no way. No.
I don't think he feel free to weigh in here because I'm wasting our time. And, you know, we have two questions left. I'm trying not to waste my guess.
Well, the whole sci-fi thing, it feels so general. We haven't really hit on anything. We've had 15 questions of like, well, kind of. So I don't know what to say. I think I'll be bummed, whatever this is. I think it's going to be, it's some Tom Cruise joint that I forgot about.
It's not animated. But it has a history thing.
Mm-hmm.
And it has sci-fi.
Yeah.
Which is something people say.
Yeah. About this one, they do.
So it makes sense.
He said specifically.
Yeah, so.
So it must be a movie.
You love a lot of movies, man.
Wait, have we done Star Wars?
No Star Wars came out that year. Was there a. When did Prometheus come out?
No Star Wars.
Feels like it's probably later,
later
than 2008.
2008, but
I think Prometheus was 2011.
It also didn't make that much money.
Could there be?
You're asking a lot of questions that aren't your real question.
Yeah, I'll let you know when it's a real question. I'm thinking out loud with my friend Carter that we're playing the game together on. No, it's not a Jurassic.
We were done with those by then.
Jurassic doesn't have sci-fi.
It's not a Jurassic.
Well. We're still not. We're not done with those in 2025.
It's not a Jurassic. It's not a Jaw. Was there something with aliens in history? Was there an aliens in history sort of a thing going on in 2008?
He doesn't want to get hung up on action. Sci-fi. Which I don't think he would say if there were aliens in it. I don't think he would say that if there were. He also said, that sci-fi.
It has a sci-fi and he doesn't want us to get hung up on action. That's what that is the information we have. And no, Doge, you will know when it's my question.
Okay. All right.
I'm talking to my friend Carter, butt out.
Yeah. Okay.
Do we think?
I think I want to actually, when we're editing this episode, I want to put in a little thing of, hey, here's what the movie is, so that our audience can understand how close you guys are dancing around a question that would unlock this.
I want to leave it out so that they are sitting in complete frustration at the lack of knowledge we have.
This is killing me.
Is it because
it feels like it would be horror in this month? If there was a horror option, it feels like you would have chosen a horror in this month of all months. Is it horror?
And that helps me.
Is that your question?
Yes.
No, it is not.
Great.
Does horror usually make the top 10 of a year?
No.
Carter, bring us home. Last question.
You don't have to. I mean, well, it has. I have to. Yeah.
Are you prepared to face the music if we both are like, your answers were terrible?
Yeah, I am. Yeah.
Okay.
You're going to love it when you find out what this movie is.
Can't wait.
It's going to be probably the
best. Excited.
The best minute of podcasting in the 8-year history of our show.
It has a sci-fi.
It has a sci-fi.
And it's cousins with history.
Cousins with history.
There's action, but not notably.
Action, but it's not the main animated thing about it. It's not animated.
It's not animated. There's no superheroes. It's not Disney owned.
That's right.
And it's likely not a Nolan film because The Dark Knight
did
one that year.
Yeah. Yep.
I blame this on us just being brainwashed that the only things that have been successful for the last decade have been all the things we've asked about.
When did The Blind Side come out? Is there sci-fi in The Blind Side?
There's that post credit scene when Nick Fury is like, I need you to play football for the Avengers.
Jeez, dude. I mean, is it
2008?
When did Iron Man come out?
Remember, but it's not superheroes.
Superheroes.
Okay. So it's just not.
And we've talked a lot about Iron Man, and I told you that it was the number 8 film of this year. Yeah, Iron Man wasn't Disney, but
Iron Man wasn't Disney at that point. We also established that.
He was eating cake. He doesn't remember.
He was eating cake.
He was lost in
cake.
He was
in cake land.
All I could hear was the smacking of my head.
That's why you can't think straight. You smacked your head too much.
I have no idea, Jordan. And we've taken up so much time on the front half of this podcast. And so...
Yeah.
I'm going to guess. What's so funny is like the funny guess is... Shrek is a superhero. Anime.
Yeah.
I just want to say Shrek. I can't say Shrek like we normally do. So I'm going to say it's not James Cameron. I wanted to say Avatar. It's not James Cameron.
Can we guess Kingdom of the Crystal Skull just in case?
I don't know.
We can't think of anything else?
Yeah. The Kingdom of the Crystal Skull.
Beat the buzzer. Got it correct on the last question. Indiana Jones and the Kingdom of the Crystal Skull. Sci-fi, but not the main thing. Action, but not the main thing. It's probably listed as adventure. Cousins with history, not a superhero, not animated, not Disney. The second highest grossing film of the year was Indiana Jones and the Kingdom of the Crystal Skull, which, much like Bram Stoker's Dracula, trades exclusively in excess and has no taste beyond it is like a fully gilded, like cheesy, kitschy film. The number two movie of the year.
Forever be frustrated at has a sci-fi being something that you thought was acceptable in any form, but your answers were good.
There are aliens.
There were aliens.
Yes. No, I understand that.
But they're not aliens. They're extra dimensional beings.
The idea that has a sci-fi is something that you thought would be helpful to anybody was frustrating to me.
Yeah.
But your answers were good.
You said this movie earlier. You said this movie and convinced yourself not to guess it.
I blame Carter for that one. He talked me out of it. But
thanks, Jordan.
That's okay. We did our best.
That's me.
We did our best and we got it, which I think is the most important
thing. I can't believe it. Can't believe
technically
it.
Technically, we got it one question ago, but then we talked ourselves out of it. We psyched ourselves out. I'm glad we went for it there at the end because it was the only thing that I felt like fit the bill of everything except for money. I am shocked that it made the amount of money that
the
it did.
Highest and I think probably just,
it's got to just be because people still had hope back then
because
art.
Back. Yeah.
Yeah. People were still like, maybe this one's going to be good.
Yep.
So, you know, I get it. It was all the first, that was just opening weekend before word of mouth got out. Everybody saw
interesting
it.
Interesting
like,
that like
no.
Kingdom of the Crystal, yeah. Kingdom of the Crystal Skull
ooh,
sort
actually,
of launched the like online movie discourse. The Dark Knight
really?
And Crystal Skull both sort of did. Like there was some chatter on message boards about the Star Wars prequels as they were coming out. But the first, like one of the first major, like everybody online is talking about this movie was Crystal Skull.
I remember hearing, like reading somewhere about like what started a lot of online discussion was people saying that Heath Ledger was going to be a terrible Joker. It was a stupid casting decision. Uh-huh. They should never do it. And then it came out. Everybody's like, actually, it was really great.
Yeah. People said the same thing about Jared Leto. So crazy.
Well, and here
twice.
We go. So we know. Let's go to shout announcements. Welcome to Shout Announcements. It's the part where we do stuff and talk about stuff. Hey, join Discord, talk to us, get on Patreon. That way you can chat with us in Discord about books, movies, video games, sports, feelings. You can come see movies with us, get the exclusive date and time, show up, hang out. We'll buy you a drink. No, I won't, but maybe somebody will if you're nice. Also, Imagine Dungeons season 2 coming at you fast, hot, fresh,
one
and
week
steaming.
From tomorrow.
Wowzers. Hey, wowzers. Get ready for that.
So pumped.
And most importantly, listen to the music of the children of the night. Let's go back to the show.
Hey, what's up, y'all? Kelly Clarkson with Wayfair. My favorite thing about the holidays, decking out my whole house. It's not a competition, but if it was, well, I'd win the season with Wayfair. Outdoor inflatable Santa, got it on Wayfair. Trees, lights, and ornaments, Wayfair. Hosting must-haves like dining sets, beds, sheets, and towels, Wayfair. For everything in your style delivered with fast and free shipping, visit Wayfair.com or the Wayfair app to win the season. But again, it's not a competition.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
After that extra long shout announcements, we're back. And it is time to chat about Bram Stoker's Dracula. I'd never seen this. It was a first time viewing for me.
Me neither.
Carter, we know you had.
I had.
Gary Oldman.
Quite a few times.
Yep.
Sort of, I assume, called to you like
Gary
Oldman. Dracula calls to
dude,
Mina.
What an incredible performance
yeah.
by Gary.
Yeah. No, he's phenomenal. It's sort of,
yep.
I
always
almost
goes
want to categorize it with Rickman's Robin Hood performance, but it's different. It's not the yeah. same thing. It felt like Rickman yeah. was intentionally yeah. hamming it up out of a disrespect for the thing he was in.
So this is so good. If anyone's Rickman
yeah. sure.
in
yeah.
this, mm-hmm. it's Hopkins to me.
Man.
Yeah.
And we can get to that in a little bit. I think especially when it's like, hey, you know, it's like if I had some 14-year-old boy tell me he wants to take me on in some semi-athletic thing, the way sure, that yeah. I would just toy with this kid. Like when Keanu shares the screen.
Tough. Yes, it's like he's playing
Anthony
ping pong
Hopkins,
with his head.
Which if you read about it, Keanu was drained. Bro, Keanu Reeves is the biggest thing in the world. That's yeah. why Francis Ford, that's why Coppola would later say he regrets it. Keanu yep. would also say he regrets it to
I
be in this movie.
It.
Was just like, hey, I need someone hot that's going to make money. And it made much more money than it cost, yeah. which it cost a lot. But yeah, Keanu.
I think the movie.
Anyways.
For me.
Don't want to jump too far ahead.
Is better because Keanu's in it. Like because here's, I'll be, you know. Just to level with you, like,
yes,
this movie is fun, but I wouldn't say that I thought this movie was good. So, like, I enjoyed watching it
no.
for the corn and the cheese.
I think I disagree. I think this movie is awesome. Yes. I think this movie completely rules. And I think part of it is because, like, the insistence on we're not using any, like, computer-generated effects. We're shooting everything, like, super yeah. practically in camera on set. 100%.
It made it feel
it
so much older than it was.
Timeless.
It did not feel like 1992.
Like, really great performance from mm-hmm. from Gary. A really, really fun performance from Anthony Hopkins.
Yes.
Our Three Musketeers give us really good performances. Mm-hmm. Winona
yes.
Ryder's great. It's just, it's really Keanu that's like, oh, buddy.
See, I agree and I disagree. I think Keanu was objectively bad, but that makes it more fun to me.
Sure.
I think that the soundtrack
Yeah.
Feels goofy in a way that I don't think it was supposed to feel goofy.
Oh, I think the soundtrack rips. I think it's so good. No, there's so much about this that worked really well for me.
Yeah, for me, the soundtrack is too much.
It's so over the top.
For me, the pacing suffers horrendously in the middle of this movie. I don't think that this is like an excellent movie. I do think that it is an amazing movie, if that makes sense. Like, yeah. I don't think that this is a good film, but I think that watching it was a ton of fun, and it benefits from a lot of the soundtrack added to the corn to me. Like, the cheese was assisted by the soundtrack, which I think was rather off-putting because of how poor. There were a lot of soundtrack choices that were poor choices here to me that felt like they belonged in a completely different movie. Mm-hmm. And I'm sure somebody would say that Francis Ford Coppola is a genius and that he probably won't. I just think that it was the wrong vibe.
It's marked Coppola by complete excess.
Propaganda.
Like, it is just like no restraint in anything, which is why I picked Crystal Skull for the middle, because it's the same kind of thing where it's just like nobody is going to say, no, you can't do that in your Dracula movie. Right. Everybody's like, make the most movie that you can make. Like, this is the movie-est movie you're ever going to do.
Yeah.
And for sure, go nuts with it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And the excess won 3 Oscars. All the things that are like all
I
about
think you can
aesthetic,
look at Gary Oldman in his first it's like Dracula makeup, costume set. And sum up this entire. I think if you showed me that picture of him with the hair. No. With the hair armor? Up in like the heart-shaped head where he looks like a king cobra. And you show me that and you say, do you think this is good, funny, or interesting? And if you said yes to any of those 3 things, you'll probably enjoy watching this movie.
Yeah. Yeah.
If somebody showed me that picture and said, this is Dracula in a movie.
My favorite thing.
And you say, I either think that's awesome, hilarious, or I want to know why that's happening, then you will enjoy this film.
Yep.
Yeah, and that's what's crazy. That this is why it made, almost 10 times the amount that it cost. Is because people, it's just gorgeous. To me, not on the same level of Avatar. It's like, it is a spectacle.
I
think if this is re-released
100%.
In theaters, I'm like, I think I'm
watching
this, even though it's all practical
10 times
effects.
Before I watch Avatar.
It makes
again
me think
purpose.
Of
this. This is the kind of spectacle that I enjoy much more than something like an Avatar.
Yes, I think of Del Toro's Frankenstein, which is coming out, which I haven't seen, but this is what he wants to do. He wants it to be practical effects and gorgeous, gorgeous, gorgeous. And so, which I think horror continues to be this like tofu of genre, which can just soak up anything. Horror can be whatever you want it to be. And so one of my favorite things about Bram Stoker's Dracula in particular here in 92 is it's something of a bumper in the bowling lane of like, we almost in the Lost Boys of it all, in all the camp of vampires in the 70s and 80s, we're not going to take vampires seriously for quite some time. And then Coppola on the heels of Godfather. I mean, this is the biggest name. And at this time, he's legitimate. He's not losing his mind and making Megalopolis or whatever it was that he did recently. He's legitimately saying, no, give me this. We're going to bring vampires back. Like in the history of Chunktober, it's like, hey, vampires were a huge deal. I don't think pop culturally vampires have the career that they do after the early 90s if Bram Stoker's Dracula does not get made. And so for me, it's just like because somebody just went and took it to 11 on everything. And because Gary Oldman, who his first ever American produced film, decides like, you know what? This is good for a young actor. I'm not super interested in this. I actually love the line about like going across 1,000 lives to find you. He loved that it was romantic. And so he's like, an opportunity to play this Dracula. Sure. Let's do it. And it just happens to be, and it's so wild. All of the stuff that I read about it, Coppola seems to just love Winona, who her birthday is the 29th of October. We talk about Sigourney being like the queen of sci-fi. There's something for Winona Ryder for horror. She just is in so much stuff. Stranger Things season 5 coming out soon. She's just always been a part of it that she just feels made for it. But he was kind of just doing whatever she said to produce this movie. She was like, my dream cast would be Hopkins and Grant and Elvis and Reeves. Yeah. And it was just nuts. And so the fact that this happened, they read the book together. You hear all the crazy stuff about what a director wants to do to get everybody in, which it feels like the only legitimate time that's ever happened for me is like when you hear about Peter Jackson and the way that he did that, which would come later, but it's just chaos, but it got made, which there's so much about it that feels like it shouldn't have, but it did.
Hopkins coming straight off of Silence of the Lambs to this is crazy.
Straight off. Liam Neeson like lost the role. He wanted to do it so bad. He was like, I want to be in Helsinki. By the way, he would have killed it. But Hopkins, dude, Hopkins talks about something about like he's asking Keanu what they did. And it's just a perfect Hopkins. And he's flaring his nostrils like Hannibal Lecter, asking Keanu. He was like, were they just using you for their blood? Did you ever share blood with them? Did you ever drink their blood? He does this long, beautiful thing, Shakespearean. And then Keanu just goes, no, dude,
never.
And then it's just,
I would never do that.
And they're like, oh, so they're so relieved that he didn't. Thank God. You know, it's like he had a presidential, five presidential terms because his hair is completely gray now.
Gary Oldman is like, write a letter to your loved ones and tell them you will stay with me for a month. And Keanu's like, a whole month?
Except his British accent is contained entirely in his eyes because he's blinking every time he should be like clipping his vowels.
I think Winona's British accent was pretty impressive.
Oh yeah. Yeah. A proto Keira Knightley.
It was very Keira Knightley, dude. Yeah. I think we're saying Doge specifically. I think you and I are saying that we like the same things about this movie. I think that you and I are just experiencing them differently, because I think a lot of the things that I'm enjoying about it are things that I'm kind of laughing at. My interpretation is I'm laughing at, and I think yours feels like you're laughing with. Like, I think you're interpreting that a lot of the excess feels intentional, and I'm sure some of it is. But I think, to me, the casting of Keanu Reeves, the soundtrack, and some of the other choices in this movie, like the costuming for, like, there's nothing that looks good about Gary Oldman as Dracula in the beginning of this movie. I think that making his monster...
Muscle armor?
No.
At the very beginning?
That's so cool. Sorry. His viper head, his heart hair is like insane. That's not cool looking, but I love it. And like, I think the same thing is like, why on earth does he look like a werewolf halfway through this movie? I don't know, man.
Command over the beasts. So that's he can wild. Be wolf
so,
or bat.
Coppola.
Sure.
Yeah. There's some random stuff I have not read. It made me want to read Dracula. But it talks so much, and really our narrator ends up being Van Helsing, but it talks about all of the different forms that he takes. And it's just kind of what feels like a pretty rough, bad interpretation of
probably
like what one of the forms of Dracula would
be. He looks
the
horrible.
The werewolf thing was odd.
I thought it was great.
And you know what's so...
I think it looks
terrible. It looks really bad. And so most of the time that's not Gary Oldman, because he was allergic
to
something in the makeup of that prosthetic. And so it's really not.
Yeah, that
him,
werewolf
sure
transformation looks like
out.
Something from Halloween like, actually, down on Disney Channel 3. Like there is enough bad here.
Did you like Bat transformation at the very close to
I
the
really
end?
I really did.
Bat form is cool.
Yes.
I really did.
The fight before the Musketeers.
Yep.
That's like early 90s.
I mean,
that's
and
crazy.
What they're doing practically
so
in this movie is unbelievable. Like I think the blue flame, the eyes in the sky, the shadow differences when he's standing in front of the wall
good.
With the light behind him, and then the mirror reflections with the newspaper. Like
when he's straight razor shaving Keanu's throat, the walls of that set move. And so as he's shaving him, the walls are closing in and like getting closer and closer and closer to the action to get that sense of claustrophobia there. Like he's trapped in Dracula's castle.
No way.
Unbelievably cool, man.
Yeah that's super
unbelievable.
Cool. Super cool.
So fun. I was watching this and I was like, because regardless, Skarsgård's Nosferatu is still so impressive. But boy, was he doing a lot of Gary Oldman's Dracula. They're, not because the lines are the same and it's the same story and we had to do this because we couldn't say Dracula back in Nosferatu because we didn't have the... But it's like, so Oldman had a vocal coach train him to have an octave lower.
Skarsgård did
that.
And
it's just like, wait, there's so much... There's so much of what Skarsgård did here. And it was fun. I had a moment where I was like, let's do a one for one. Who did it better? And I'm like, well, everyone did it better in Nosferatu in terms of the characters that down to
Willem
to
Dafoe
Depp and Holt
in the Hopkins role.
Skarsgård, everyone.
Come on.
Dafoe.
I just want to say
Me too.
1990s, Carrie Elwes, once again, untouchable in the charisma category, even as this sort of like nothing character. He is so fun.
It felt like what we do in the shadows when he storms through while they're doing the before the transfusion.
It's almost like 100%.
There's an effing ghost on the lot. It was just like jumping.
Anthony Hopkins response. And I know this is everything that Hopkins did. But the response when he's like,
he plays Van Helsing
as like a dirty old man. He says, you can stay. I don't need that from you, but that's good to know. Basically, he's just like, thanks, man.
Yeah. Hopkins. Yes. Hopkins line read of like,
that's the Rickman of it all.
He's like, where is her body? And they're like, are you going to do an autopsy? He's like, no, I'm just going to cut off her head and look at her heart.
Yes. Yes. I do.
Yes. And Winona's concerned of her friend, Lucy. It's like, how did
she was
happen?
In a lot of
pain.
Tough.
He's like, yes. And when we cut off her, he keeps saying,
we rammed a stake through her heart to cut off her head.
We cut off her head.
I do. I just want to, you know, we've got just a couple minutes left here. And I want to harp on something that I think I have been finding very interesting recently in some horror that I was reading earlier this year. And in a movie like this, I think there is something so distinctly disturbing about sexual horror. Mm-hmm. There is something so horrific about the idea that something that wants to kill you can use this sort of like carnal thing to draw you to it, that it's like, it has your worst interest in mind. It has your destruction in mind. You know, for as noble as Dracula wants to be, at the end of the day, he wants to take this young girl and transform her into a monster with him so that he can live out his dream of 400 years to be reunited with somebody that looks like and might be a reincarnated version of his wife. That wasn't clear to me, but how much of that was real and how much of that was him putting these thoughts in her head. But that therein lies the horror of Dracula, I think, which is you cannot trust your mind around him, and you also can't trust your desires around a vampire, because you are trapped in this sort of like, you know, the thing that's happening sounds like it should
Siren
be
almost.
Cool. It's sexy. It's interesting. And yet it's horrendous and so scary. And I think that that is like so distinctly disturbing to me. And I think that that makes vampire stuff, but specifically like this in particular, very scary to me.
Stories like this and Nosferatu that really lean into vampires as the like the personification of lust, and like turn a vampire's hunger for blood into a really like lusty kind of like overpowering response. That's when I think vampires are at their scariest.
100% agreed.
And I think that idea sort of joins the canon of other things about this movie that have been a little bit ruined for me by what we do in the shadows. There's so many things in this movie. The you see me now, that it have been completely like had the teeth taken out of them by what we do in the shadows again and again and again. And the like sexy vampire in that way. Because Jemaine in What We Do in the Shadows is basically Gary Oldman's Dracula from this movie.
Right.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, you talk about that lust, and there's something a little bit maybe as disturbing or even more disturbing with that of like someone using someone else without their control, as Buffalo Bill having a woman in a well to just moisten up to make a coat. You know, it's
Alien, right? That's the same kind of part horror of Alien.
Like, oh my God,
like,
this is just,
It's not just, it's not just scary. It's violating in different ways. And that adds to the fear. But I think that's really interesting. And it's part of, I think, the draw of this kind of horror is there's something viscerally scary about there's something viscerally scary about something horrible happening to you, and you don't know how terrible it is because your mind is being told
you
that
like
it's
it. Yeah.
Like that's so it's terrifying. Anyway, let's rate this movie using the scientific cinema, the magic cinema scale is what they call it. The magic cinema scale, which is perfect. And as follows, the best thing we could ever say about a movie is own it. Don't lend it.
Buy that poster.
The next best thing is buy it. That's followed by rent it and then stream it. After that is forget it. And last, but certainly least, the worst thing we could ever say about a movie.
God hath forsaken us.
I'm renting it. I'm renting Dracula. I really enjoyed it. I would watch it again. It is a treat. It so clearly the visuals of this inspired one of my favorite things of all time, which is Bloodborne, just sort of the gothic lamplight. You know, the blood, the outfit, like everything about it is so cool. I'm a huge fan of this sort of like gothic horror. And I love the visceralness of it. I don't know. I really enjoyed it. I definitely think for me, it landed in like a laugh at it, but also be impressed with it sort of a spot, but really liked it. I'm renting it.
Guys, I'm going to buy the poster for Bram Stoker's Dracula.
Wow.
I can't believe how much I loved this, how well it worked for me. This is like, I don't know. It really is the like capital M movie-est movie ever. Like they're pulling every trick in the book from like a filmmaking perspective, like the craft of this movie. I want like a Lord of the Rings style, like give me some feature length documentaries about how you made this movie, because every shot, every scene contains something that I have no idea how they did it. Or like there were several moments that I would rewind to be like, how did they do that? Like knowing that it's all in camera, like what I'm seeing is what the actors saw on set to a large degree is crazy.
Yeah. I mean, most of this cast is still kicking. We could get something going.
We could ask them.
I
to be on the podcast with us. Sir Hopkins, would you be on our podcast?
I'd be too scared.
I want to buy it, but I also realize that in my closet, I have a gown, a sheer gown, and I have no intention of wearing anything underneath. And I can't explain why. So I'm going to go ahead and buy. I have to buy the poster here because it is.
Yes. Yes, you do.
So influential to things that I love about not just horror, but movies. I really like Bram Stoker's Dracula. It feels like I'm on a ride that has nostalgia that I just marvel at what they did, like how they, like when I go to Disney and ride the Pirates of the Caribbean ride, I'm like, you know, the flames back there are actually them. It's just air and fabric. Can you believe that? And you're like, wow, it still looks so real to this day. You know, it's like a, I don't know. It feels strangely like movie historical to me. And I enjoy it.
That's what I love most about it too, is like there is, I texted you guys, by the way, in the chat, the poster that I would buy, but there is like a very nostalgic, like this is what movie magic is. When people talk about movie magic, it is the like the very elaborate constructed scenarios and shots, and ultimately we're tricking the audience into feeling that this is all really happening, and there's something like tangible and touchable about all of the effects in this movie that really, really works for me.
Yeah. Money wise, it's the other end of the kind of things like with It Follows or the really low budget horror movies that you're like, man, they just did such a good job with what they had access to. Coppola at this point has access to whatever the hell he wants. And he actually, he did it. He used it to the highest extent that he possibly could. And there's something really fun about that without just absolutely blowing it. And even if he did, it's still enjoyable. Such a wide net.
Yep.
Middle really dragged for me though. I'm going to be honest. Really dragged for me.
Yeah.
Really tough.
It dragged.
You know, make sure you tune in next week to Two Chunks and a Hunk, where we'll talk about our scariest Thanksgiving movies. We're really excited for that series. It's going to be great. To end today's episode, I'd like for each of us to say our name and what our sexy vampire outfit would be if we were turned and we had to seduce some citizenry. If we had to descend upon London and seduce some citizens, what would our outfit be? For Two Chunks, I'm Jordan. I think for me, it's denim vest.
Yeah.
Nothing on underneath.
Uh-huh.
It's denim shorts.
Uh-huh.
With the cut so short that the pockets hang out of the bottom of the leg of the shorts.
See a little bit of butt cheek from the back.
A little butt cheek from the back, especially if I bend over, which I'm going to do a lot. And then like the mid-calf UGG boots, like the fluffy ones with like the wool inside. Some mid-calf UGG boots, fingerless gloves.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And a fedora, but not an Indiana Jones style fedora, like a Mall Ninja style fedora. Yeah. A trilby, amazing. I believe, is what they're referring to.
Amazing.
And then London, lens, 3D glasses with the lenses popped out.
London, you're going to want to look into sky.
Hey, London. Oh, princess.
Oh, princess.
My beautiful London princess.
Picture this. It's 1881.
Done.
You're sound asleep every day in your bed in London. And then you hear booming throughout the city, a voice coming to you from the sky. You look out the window. Hold on.
Can I do the sound effect for sleeping? What sleeping in London sounds like?
Yeah.
Honk shoe, honk shoe,
honk shoe,
honk shoe,
honk shoe,
honk shoe, yeah,
honk shoe, yeah. Isn't it? I don't know. What do you want to shoe today?
So you're in your rooms, right? You're honking your shoes, and then you look out the window. You hear this booming voice, and it's me, and I'm up in the sky, and I'm saying, "Look at me, my children. Don't you want to be my sexy friends?"
Oh, you're doing like a cattle call.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I'm just like, everybody come get your yummy sexy here.
Does anybody like what they see tonight?
Take a picture. It will last longer. And then I'm in the sky and I have a white Oxford shirt on.
Sure.
Fully unbuttoned. And the tails of it are very long.
Yeah.
Like flowing. It's fully unbuttoned, and that's, and I don't have anything else on.
Oh, love it.
Yeah.
Okay.
So good. I very simply, my entire outfit is just sweatbands. I don't know how to explain it.
Yeah.
I will say by sweatbands plural, I mean three, but it is covering up every bit of my privates. I don't know how to explain it, but it is just sweatbands.
Is your butthole a private? Or is that out? I'm having a hard time visualizing how the three are covering everything, but the butthole's out.
It's like that puzzle where you have a fox, a chicken, butthole's and a bag of grain.
Butthole's a private. So you got three sweatbands, and so one of them is, everything's covered, including your butthole.
It's all practical effects. It's movie magic, my friend.
I'm imagining that now that you have two sweatbands covering the front and then just a sweatband wadded up and shoved in your butt crack to cover your butthole.
Maybe it's one big sweatband that he's wearing vertically, cutting him in half hot dog style. It's like from between all the way up over the head.
Goes up over the head.
Yeah.
You're one surprised head turn away from a pretty painful evening.
That's it. Hey, there's kind of something sexy about that.
That's true. Nothing like the threat of imminent testicular doom.
You're one head turn away from a surprisingly painful evening. Oh.
If you're the purchasing manager at a manufacturing plant, you know having a trusted partner makes all the difference. That's why, hands down, you count on Grainger for auto reordering. With on-time restocks, your team will have the cut-resistant gloves they need at the start of their shift. And you can end your day knowing they've got safety well in hand. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.